Perek Chof Beis. Vayel Gavim Yisham Vayimalei Doma Aretz Adu Rama Vayishma Acha Vachol Veis Avim Vayirdu A Love Shama. Okay, David HaMelech immediately left. He realized that Shaul HaMelech was out against him and he was worried about it. And immediately all of his brothers and the house of his father heard about it. Vayirdu A Love Shama. They came to get over there. They were worried about what Shaul HaMelech was going to do to them. Shaul was so angry they were going to kill David HaMelech for no purpose. I mean, there was nothing that David HaMelech did to them. They were worried about that, right? So they went to the area called Adulam. They captured Kol Ish Matzo. So a bunch of people who were oppressed came to him. Kol Ish Shalom Nosha, anybody who owed money. The Kol Ish Mar Nefesh, anybody who was embittered of a soul. Yelim Lasari became their leader. Yelim Ok Alba Meosich, about 400 men. All right, these guys were not bad people. They were not bad people. They were wise and understanding men. It would be a mistake to say that they were of a lowly stature. And the reason why is because in Divrei Hayamim, the way it says it over here, is he calls them men of God. And he says they were helpers in war, and they could sling stones and shoot arrows and everything after that. It says, like the Machne of Elohim. That's what it says in Divrei Hayamim. So it seems that they were very special holy people.
Maybe
differently. So, it's not saying differently, right?
Well, the Rami could be talking about a spiritual sense, and this could be talking about in a physical sense. People were kind of like discarded by society.
Exactly, they might have been thrown away by different people, or whatever it was. It could, however, be the men who were in debt had no money to repay their creditors, and those of the bitter soul were afflicted by terrible poverty.
They made a great investment just now, though.
Yeah, their souls were bitter over their sins. David HaMelech taught them the ways of tshuva. He did chase away other people that were absolutely evil people as well. And then it says over here, Vayel David Misham, okay, this is in Pazit Gimel, Mitzvah Mo'av, toward Mitzvah Mo'av, Yomel Melam Mo'av, Yetzino Aviv Yimi, come, let my mom and dad live with you. Hashra Edomai say, Elohim, until I know what's going to be with my, you know, what God is going to do with me. Now, he didn't say anything about his brothers, because the brothers stayed with him, and that made sense. The brothers remained with the other 300 men, because why would they wait around? They're strong people, they could all fight. Yeah, because they really, probably immediately afterward, that's what it seems. Dub was born.
Dub first went to know Yerushalayim, but didn't tell him why he was there. Picked up the sword to sort of save the city from itself, and Shaul found out.
Yeah.
But he goes to, you know, Moab, and presumably tells him the whole story, which puts him in a bad way. In either way, because if Shaul finds out, he's going to attack Moab. But Moab knows that they have a lot of
blood. So we're going to see that. We're going to see right now.
He set himself up.
Yeah, we're going to see exactly right now what happens with Moab. It's going to be very, very bad for him. It was a bad call to go to Moab. He assumed that he could go to his great, great grandfather's house, and that somebody would come back and they would take care of him. But obviously, yes, they were scared of Shaul, very, very scared of Shaul. But he said, "Let my father and mother be here until I see what God is going to do for me." Brought them in front of the king of Moab, and they were there as long as David was in the stronghold. But unfortunately, it didn't go for very long. It says, "Vayomer God and Elbi." Okay, by the way, here is the city of Adulam, and here is where he went by down on the edge of the Dead Sea. He went to Moab right on the other side. Okay, so it says
it's pretty desolate over there.
Which one
over there? The Dead Sea over there, the whole area. If you look across the Jordan, everything's just.
I mean, now I don't know what it was back then.
You'd
assume it was better. Assume it was there.
What's around it?
Not so sure. I don't know. Never been to Jordan, but Jordan's supposed to be a good place. You think? What do you think?
Aqaba looks like a lot. It's
no that's much further south. I'm talking about the Dead Sea. Just across the Dead Sea.
Maybe it's not directly across. Maybe it's a little bit further down. Maybe it's a little bit further east. I don't know. We're around there. So let's go into the next one. But Yomer Gadon Navi El David Lo Seishu V'Metzuda Leichu Bas Lecha Eretz Yehuda. Gadon Navi said to David, "Do not sit where you are right now. Okay, Leichu Bas Lech Eretz Yehuda. Go instead to the land of Yehuda. He came to the forest of Chores." Now God knew what was going to happen, and as we said last week, it's amazing and it's unbelievable that he didn't tell him to take his parents out of there. That's the biggest power. How would he not be able to do it? So maybe he tried, maybe he was supposed to, I don't know, but the king of Moab ordered that David HaMelech's parents be killed. Elihu, who was there at the time, maybe taking care of his parents and everything like that, he managed to escape. He went to Nachash, king of Ammon, and Nachash, king of Ammon, was trying to help him later on, but Elihu was able to escape, but his father and his mother were killed. It's amazing that Yishai, king, father of David HaMelech, who had no sins, was was killed at the end of the day by the king of Moab. That's an unbelievable thing, but that's not something we fully understand. So Shaul heard that David HaMelech was known, right, and his men that were with him, and that all the men that were with him, that they had been discovered. Shaul was sitting, now this is the weird part, he was sitting in Giva, under the tree in Ramah. No Shaifas. Ramah and Giva are two totally different places. But the pshat is, he was only able to live in Giva right now because of the person who lived in Ramah. Shmuel and Abi davened for Shaul that Shaul HaMelech should live, and thus he was there. V'chaniso biyado, he held his spear in his hands, v'chol avadim yisavim lavo, all of his avadim, right, were sitting by him. So v'yomer Shaul avadim, he said to his servants, yisavim lavo, they were standing by him. Shimu na b'nei yimini, listen to me all b'nyamanites, gam l'kulcham yitem b'nei ishai sarah zukramim, l'kulcham yasim sari ofen sari meos. Do you think David HaMelech is going to give you fields and vineyards? Do you think all of you are going to become officers of thousands and officers of hundreds? Now, Shaul HaMelech thought that B'nai Yisrael was starting to side with David HaMelech, and his jealousy took on the point where he was literally believing anything anyone would tell him, in which he was sitting there and he was saying, listen, are you all on David HaMelech's side? Is there anyone here who's on my side? That's what Shaul HaMelech was saying, where everybody's like, this guy's crazy. This guy's mamish, like, he's thinking these crazy, crazy things that we're going out against him. He says, Kikshartem Kulcham Allah, you are all rebelling against me. Nobody told me that my son made a deal with the son of Yishai. None of you are sick about me. The Golas Azni and telling my ear, that my son has helped my servants be, lie in wait and ambush against me, even on this day. That's one way of looking at it, that the word Kola is sick, that you're feeling sick for me or anything like that. That's one way of looking at it. Another thing is that literally he felt this sickness, and he was attributing it to other people, the sickness of just being completely jealous. Now thinking that David HaMelech was his enemy and that David HaMelech was trying to kill him. When Chas V'Shalom, David HaMelech never thought of doing anything like that. There was never a moment that David HaMelech had thought of doing something to Shaul HaMelech. He was standing with Abdi Shaul. I saw David HaMelech go to Nov to Achimelech, the son of Achituv. So he said, I saw him go into Nov. Now, he told half the story, right? He didn't tell him that David HaMelech was starving. He didn't tell him that David HaMelech did not tell Achimelech what was going on. He didn't tell him that Achimelech was worried and thinking that Shaul HaMelech had sent him on an immediate mission or anything like that. Doeg didn't even say that he came to the Beis Elohim. All he said was that he came to Nov to talk with Achimelech. Because the Mishkan was there, that's where the Sanhedrin was there.
God always done his best.
Who? David HaMelech. Yeah, that David HaMelech is trying to make a conspiracy with all the Kohanim. He was part of the Sanhedrin who was sitting in the Mishkan at the time. He was the one who was there. So he said, see, the Kohen Gadol wants to join in the rebellion against you right now. It's terrible that he's being known this way. So he asked God for David HaMelech, but Seder Nasan Lo, and he gave him provisions. That's Cher of Golias Aplisha Nasan Lo, and he gave him the sword of Golias. He made no mention that the only reason why he gave him food was because of the bulmas, the crazy stomach ailment that he had. And the fact is, David HaMelech had asked for any sword. He had not asked for Golias' sword completely, but it sounds like he wanted Golias' sword, and Achimelech gave him Golias' sword.
Golias part of Sanhedrin, flat out.
Abizdin of Sanhedrin. Lashon Hara to the max. He is called a Zokin Mamre. A rebellious scholar who went up against the Beis Din and was not right about any of his halachos.
How come we don't have any reference to Sanhedrin and Tanakh after the Zikanim and Moshe? Until like maybe Ezra, I'm not sure.
They didn't play a political role. Why is probably the answer.
Because the Torah is all about that.
It's about the Malachim. The Malachim, those are in charge.
Right. Why don't they also really talk about the Sanhedrin?
We don't have. It's a good question. I would assume it's because they spent their time learning the whole time and teaching the people about the different ways. I would assume that's why they didn't spend their time in trying to figure it out. Do you know the Av Beis? I mean, you would probably know this, but do most people know who the Av Beis of the Beis HaGadol in Yerushalayim is? And most people don't. I'm just saying, like, most people wouldn't know if you would ask them, right? No, most people wouldn't know that the head of the Eight of Haredes. They just don't. They don't have it. Yeah, Shtarmbach would be it. So people just don't know these things. They're not important since, when Rebbe Lezer Waldenberg passed away, that's when it became Shtarmbach. Yeah.
Not very. I mean, his tumors are pretty makeable. Yeah. When did he come out of there? Right?
Well, I mean, he's. Yeah. But he's not Melo. We go back to Melo and I teach you about going.
Do I know all this about what all these things that Dr. Melo did for David?
He was there. He was a part of the network. He was out there.
Oh.
He said, "By Yishlak Melech, we call us after Melech and Achitu Vakoin. That's called these other Vakoinim. Shabinova Yavol Kula Melech." He says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, the king sent to Koach and Melech sent to Achitu the Kohen Gadol and all of his father's house, all the Koanim that were in Nov, they all came to the king. Vayomer Shol Shma No Ben Achitu Vayomerin in the Adoni. Listen to me, please. The son of Achitu, and he said, "Here I am, my master." Achimelech literally had no idea what was going on. No idea. He couldn't have known. He had no idea that David Melech was not on the king's good side. Why have you started rebelling against me? Atu ben Yishai b'sitcholo lecham, you and ben Yishai by giving him bread, becharev and a sword. B'sholo b'lohim, and I heard you ask the rebetulim about him. Laku milai lo oriv kayom hazeh, so he can lie up against me and fly an ambush against me on this day. Right? He had 100% been the kabbal doig's lashon hara. Did not even ask Achimelech what happened. Told him this is what I know. So vayana Achimelech zamelech vayoma mi b'chol v'deicha ki David neman v'chasen Achimelech. Wait a second. There is no one more trustworthy than David Melech. He plays your harp. He's your son-in-law. The Sarol Mishmatech, he does everything you say for him to do. The Nichba B'Bisech, he's one of the most honorable people in your house. Now, he didn't mean to antagonize Shaul Melech even more. But that got Shaul Melech even more so. Yeah, that's what you say about David Melech? But he's like, I understand. Like, this is the person that you love. Hayom Achlisi Lishol Elohim. Do you think today I started to ask him for the Urim V'Tumim? This is not the first time I've ever asked the Urim V'Tumim for David HaMelech. David HaMelech has asked me before because it was for the king. He's come to me before. Chalilali. Don't have anything against me or any of my father's house. If anything, the sin is on me, not on anybody else. Your servant did not know any of this, whether small or big. That's what he's trying to say. I had no idea whatsoever, but it could be he wasn't able to explain anything else of what had happened because Shaul cut him off before he had gone on. Achimelech wanted to say a little bit more. Listen, I didn't want to give him Goliath's sword. I didn't want to, he was probably going to tell him about the food as well. I mean, he could have told him exactly what was going on, but Shaul HaMelech immediately cut him off. You're going to die. You and your father's house. Yom HaMelech will rush him and he tells him a lot. He said to the runners who were standing by him, Sobu v'amitza Kohani Hashem, go around, kill everyone of the Kohanim of Hashem. Ki gam yadim in David, all their hands were with David HaMelech. V'chi yadu kibol rehu, they knew he was running away. V'lo galu esazni, they didn't tell me. V'lo ablu abdi HaMelech, v'shloch yadam, v'tkoh v'kohani Hashem. None of the abdi HaMelech wanted to do it. All the abanim of the king stood there and they were flabbergasted. You're going to tell us to kill the Kohen Gadol, all these kids, and all the Kohanim of Nov? What, are you kidding?
What's the halacha in when a king gives something in order that's not...
Can you go against the king? Here we go. It says, it does not apply to a royal command to commit an avera. You are not required to listen when it comes to doing an avera.
So, like, keep it away. If you're dead, similarly.
Yeah, right. If they told you to do something that was wrong, like to break Shabbos or whatever it is, then you wouldn't be able to. Right. And that applies over here as well.
I would call it a gray area, but it seems like the king has, like, raw judicial powers. So the king sends someone to death, then the person has to carry out the death sentence.
That's definitely true.
So how do they know that this is an unjust death sentence, whereas where would they draw the line?
I guess that's true. I don't know. Maybe they were hesitant because they didn't want to go around, but they weren't, like, immediate. They didn't just go out taking their swords and go out. They stared at Shaul HaMelech.
What was it called?
They were staring at Shaul HaMelech saying, like, are you kidding me? Like, what kind of a rule is this? So maybe it wasn't that they would never do it, but they were standing there and they were saying that they didn't want to. They were like, they had their swords and they were just like, is this a serious rule? Are you going to tell me this or not? What is it going to be? This is the result all of the Lashon Hara of Doeg Adomi. So Vayomer HaMelech LeDoeg, now he becomes Doeg. Do you see the way that it's spelled? Not the way that you read it, but Doeg over here. Sovatov Gaba Kohanim. You go and you hit the Kohanim. Vayisov Doeg Adomi Vayikahu Ba Kohanim. He hit the Kohanim. Vayomer Vayomahu Shmonim Vakamish Yishno Tehefot Bad. He killed 85. Doeg Adomi himself, he killed every single one. Shaul HaMelech said to Doeg Adomi, you ready for this line from the Medrash? You killed all of them with your tongue, now kill them with your hands. That's what he told them. You killed all of them with your tongue by speaking Lashon Hara, now kill every single one of them with your hands.
And then the soldiers refused to do it. So, 85 against one, I mean...
You'd assume that Doeg wouldn't be able to do it.
Maybe the Kohanim didn't have any weapons. And Doeg Adomi had a sword, and the guards, although they didn't do anything, they wouldn't let them out. Maybe that would be it. It's unbelievable. Either way, Doeg Adomi then said to Shaul at that moment, said, now it's time for Michal to get remarried. Because David HaMelech is against you, he's rebelled against you, and now Michal doesn't belong to him anymore. That's when he gave her over. There's Novir Kohanim Hikal of Yicharet. He killed every single person in Novir Kohanim, man by the sword, Ish ad Isha Me'olav ad Yonek, man and woman, child and nursing child, Shor v'chamor v'sel of Yicharet, axe and donkey and sheep of Yicharet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called out of that moment, Al Tir Shaharbe, do not be too evil. He didn't do this to Amalek. You're going to do this to Novir Kohanim? Amalek, you left the animals alive. By Amalek, you kept the king alive. By Novir Kohanim, he killed every single person, every man, woman, child, and animal. He did it by every single one. That's what ended up happening. Now, the reason why Shaul did it was to set an example. You set up your camp with David HaMelech, this is what's going to happen to you and your entire family. And that's what he's trying to do. He knew that, and he was ready to do it. Perhaps he knew about the prophecies about the descendants of Eli, and he allowed this as an excuse that the descendants of Eli were supposed to die early anyway. So it's not that big of a deal. But nonetheless, there's nothing there. Now, we all know that living by Novir Kohanim were also the Givonim. Givonim were not Jewish, but they were water carriers and wood choppers that worked for the Mishkan. When Novir Kohanim was destroyed and the Mishkan was carried over to another city, the Givonim were totally and utterly out of a job. They became poor and had to start begging for money. They always blamed Shaul for the predicament, and later on that came to bite Shaul on Melech's kids. We're going to see them later on. One son of Achimelech ben Achitub was able to escape with Shmuel of Yosef. By Yibrach HaKoi David, he chased after David HaMelech, and Yagid left Yosef with David, Kiyarik Shaul HaSkwani Hashem. He told David HaMelech that Shaul HaMelech had killed the Kohanim of Hashem, and Yomar David left Yosef, Yadati Be'emahu Kisham Doeg Adomi. I knew that Doeg Adomi was there, Kiyagid Yagid LaShaul, and that he's the one that told Shaul, Anokhi Sabosi B'chol Nefesh Be'savicha, I'm the one who did it. I caused the death of your entire father's house. You should know. This is the halacha. The Chassam Sofer Paskin's la halacha. Based on this, that if you are, and also the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that David HaMelech was blamed for Novir HaKohanim, and that he was responsible, this is the halacha. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if a person, for example, is in bed and rolls over onto a child and kills the child, the person needs a kapara for murder.
Of course.
Because even though the person never committed murder and didn't need to was asleep,
still go to jail.
But that's that.
Even secularly, you go to jail. I mean, to cry.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Somebody does it, but
it's a Sahagyam for it. That's where it would be, right over there. It's unbelievable. I don't think it would be. Yeah, what's up there?
What is
the Sofer says, being even a tiny little bit involved in some type of idea that kills somebody, you are responsible.
So the other parents are as kafar.
Yeah. In a way. I don't know if that's kafar for you.
It's not really.
Not a kafar for you. Yeah.
Why not?
Far off.
Let
me give you another example. That's true, but it's not a kafar for me nonetheless.
Somebody else is being harmed. For a kafar for you.
I mean, I definitely hear it, but nonetheless, because you were misabed it, you were involved in it. I'll give you another case. Okay, ready? You send a guy on a mission. I go, hey, David, can you go get me something from Jewel? On the way to Jewel, I won't see you. Okay. I send over John over here, and I say, John, can you go to Jewel to go get me something? John, on the way to Jewel, gets into a car crash and dies. I got to get a kapara, says Chassam Sofer, because I was misabed his death. Even though I never did anything, I caused it to happen, even though the causation was very remote and indirect. Nonetheless, I still was misabed the death. That's what happened.
The causation was an accident.
Yeah. Nonetheless, I'm still responsible. Unbelievable, isn't it? We learned that from David. And know that that Shvayiti Pasachov Gimel, live with me, said David HaMelech to the officer. Altira, don't be afraid. Whoever wants to kill me also wants to kill you. You will be kept safe together with me. So he later on was repaid. Yoash, a great, 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 great grandson of David HaMelech, was saved by Yehoyada, a Kohen Gadol at the time, from Atalia, the queen. So that will happen later on. David HaMelech did feel responsible, and that's that. I'm going to say the words of the Chidah regarding what transpired in Nov are worth noting. He says, in truth, this matter of Nov, city of Kohanim, makes one's hair stand on end. The less said about it, the better. Unbelievable, isn't it? The less said about it, the better. Yeah, what were you going to say, Dave?
Was Eliezer the last coin in the land, or just...
Of Eli's children. Eliezer was the last. Tzadok was from Eliezer. I won't say, was from Itamar, I'm sorry. But this is all from Eliezer's line. Yes, he was the last one, except for one other guy who isn't really a coin, but is somewhat a coin, Pinchas. Pinchas is still around, but he has either disappeared by now, or he has no shaykhus with other people. We don't know where Pinchas is. Okay, he later on becomes Eliyahu HaNavi, but we don't know what happened exactly, if he's dead by now, and Eliyahu HaNavi is a reincarnation of some sort. We don't know, but he is somewhere around there. Parakav Gimel, guys, they told David, saying, the Plishim are fighting a war in Keilah, and they're looting all the threshing floors that they're getting around over here. Now, they thought that this would be a Mohammed's mitzvah, the fact that they're going to fight against. So David HaMelech really felt that he had to participate, but he's worried that if he goes there, he's going to be found out by Shaul HaMelech. So meaning, the kasha is, Mohammed's a mitzvah, you have to join. But a Mohammed's a mitzvah where you might be hurt, do you have to join? That was the kasha that he asked himself. He didn't know, should I be involved or not? Only because of Shaul HaMelech. No, you're right, but meaning, he wasn't worried about the war. You have Mohammed's mitzvah, I'm willing to fight the war, but Shaul HaMelech is going to find me because he'll hear that I'm fighting this war. What do I do then?
But you should have David Haman. You know that you definitely won't get hurt as opposed to one that.
No. He was willing to fight a war because a war is a war. So while Kamatzah mitzvah, he's willing to do that mitzvah. But to put himself in the sight of Shaul HaMelech, where Shaul could come up against him, maybe that wouldn't be permitted because that would be too big of a sakana. That's what he's worried about.
Oh, and like just being a part of the war as opposed to being on the front lines or something.
Exactly. That's what he's going to worry about. David HaMelech asked that Kodesh Baruch Hu, saying, should I go and kill these Plishim? We're going to say it in a second. Yeah. But David HaShem said to David, go kill the Plishim, save Ki'ila. Did you notice that, by the way? He did not say you'll win. He did not say you'll be successful. He did not say you'll come out.
You shall smite.
Go do it, and you'll save Ki'ila. I did not say you're going to be successful.
He keeps up a plishtim, and you will hit the
plishtim. But nonetheless, it is not the line of you're going to be safe. We're sitting in Yehuda, and we're afraid. We go to the land of the plishtim, we're going to be even more afraid of Shaul. We're closer to Shaul. Get up and go down to Keilah. That's what they were waiting for. I am going to put the plishtim into your hands. He had to ask it a second time. There's a lot over here. The kasha is that this is on Shabbos. Should they wage war on Shabbos? And the reason why is because they were looting, not plundering, the threshing floors. That was the question. Is this sufficient urgency enough, since it's a border town, that if the police can go in there, that they might go even further and start killing people? He was waiting to see if he was succeeded. When he saw that there was no guarantee, he was worried. But David HaMelech made a kal v'chomer for them. He said, listen, in Yehuda were 400 men who were afraid. This is the people that they said, I'm sorry, they said. But if we go to Keilah, even more so we're going to be afraid. Nonetheless, David HaMelech asked and was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is 100% he has to go ahead. How did he have the Urim V'Tumim? It seems, either number one, he somehow was able to get it out of Novir HaKohanim, or number two, he found it. Meaning, somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it to him. And it doesn't say any way of how it happened, but somehow the Urim V'Tumim came to Eliezer.
HaMelech was the first one killed by Doeg.
He was wearing the Urim V'Tumim.
Maybe he just wasn't wearing it.
Remember, there must have been a backup. Urim V'Tumim was in there were always backups of the Big Day Kuna Gedola. There's no question about that. Always there was. I know you're thinking because the stones are so expensive.
No, they must have jumped in. Because we're doing humor right now and
the backup coin gobble. They're always the backup coin gobble.
No, but if the coin gobble's tummy, how could he wear all the vestments?
He's right. It could be that the vestments will become tummy as well. You're right, but what if he becomes tummy? He's right. There has to be a backup. There's no question there has to be a backup. And aside from that, the Urim and the Tumim, remember, are the two parchments that have God's name, the Urim and the Tumim, that are inside the Choshen. He probably had those also. So there's an ability to be able to go. So now here we go. We went down to Kiva, and they took away all of their livestock. And they hit them very much. And he saved the people that were living in Kiva. In this case, he did not take everyone. He only took a bunch of warriors. Did not take everyone. He just went with his men, his main men. And they went down to Benad, all 400 men. When Avyasar ben Achimelech came down to David, the Ephod Yorad Biyado came down to his hands. I'm sorry, I forgot that this passage is over here. Divine providence saw to it that the Ephod went down in his hands. You like that little line over there? That was it. By you got the Shaul kibod David Kiila. Shaul was told that David was in Kiila. By Yomer Shaul Nikar Oso Elohim Biyadim. Oh, God has given it to him into my hands. Kiniska Lavobi Irz Lasayim Ubriach, because he went into a city that has doors and a lock. He is locked in. This is a sign from God that I'm supposed to capture David. Al amazing. He didn't go down to save Kiila. Shaul Amalek. He didn't even think about going down to save the city of Kiila. David Amalek went down to Kiila to go save them, but Shaul didn't even think about it. When he heard David Amalek was there, when the Philistines were already destroyed, that's when he said, oh, sign from God that I'm supposed to go kill David Amalek. And decided to go down. Unbelievable, isn't it? He got the people together to wage a war down in Keilah, to go fight against David and his men. Now, David knew that Shaul was going to do evil. So he said to Abyasar, bring the ephod. Remember the problem that we had with Shaul Amalek? And when Shaul Amalek needed something, and it was an immediate problem. Shaul Amalek delayed a little bit, and then as soon as the Urim and Tum came to him, he said, forget it, I'm just going to do something right now, and he went out. David Amalek delayed. David Amalek delayed, and that's that.
Like, yep.
David Amalek delayed, I'm sorry. David Amalek, well, he waited to get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu we needed from the Urim and Tum. That's an Anenpai. Meaning, he waited for the Urim and Tum to tell him what to do. He did not just run away like Shaul Amalek did before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your servant has heard. He's coming to Kiila. Shachas at your Baburi to destroy the city because of me. Will the people of Kiila give me into his hands? Is Shaul actually coming down, right, like I have heard? Tell please your servant. And Hashem said to him, he is coming down. Now here's the deal, guys. You cannot ask the Urim Bitumim two questions at once. You're not allowed to. He has two questions here. Two questions are, number one, will the people of Kiila give me into his hands? Should I stay in Kiila? Is this the right move to make? Or should I run away? That's number one. By staying in Kiila, there will be a siege on the city. And Chas v'Shalom, somebody from the city might be killed, but maybe they'll fight for me. If I leave Kiila, it's more of a chance that Shaul Melech is going to catch up to me. So what should I do over here? That's number one. Number two, is he really going to come down? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yireh, he's going to come down. He asked in the wrong order. He was given his first question first. By Yomar David, he asked, Dirubala Kiilo Sivas Anashav Yad Shaul, will Kiila save me? By Yomar Hashem Yaskiru. By Yomar Hashem, and Hashem said, Yaskiru, they will give you into Shaul Melech's hands. Once he heard that, and he heard exactly what it is, he said, okay.
Even after he saved
them? Even after he saved
them.
He said, I gotta get out of here.
Wouldn't have made David leave a walled city, locks and doors and all that kind of
thing? I mean, David Melech was assured in his power, knowing that he was there. He didn't want to have to fight Shaul HaMelech, but he didn't know. Maybe this is the time where he has to fight. Maybe he does have to do something. He's in a walled city and going out into the fields and trying to run for it when Shaul HaMelech is already on the way there and probably already has spies on the roads. He's definitely going to see where I'm going. So he said, like, if I put myself in the city, at least I'll have the walls around me to be able to, you know, to start a siege. If I run, I'm for sure in trouble. There's no way I'm going to get out. That's putting myself in absolute sakana. Which one should I do over here? So Yaakov Dov and Asher Kishesh was 600 men. By Yitzmikila, they ran outside. By Yishalku, Basher Yishalku, they went wherever they needed to go. Literally, they had nowhere to go. They just hid. Shaul was told that David HaMelech had run away from Kiila, and for some reason, he just stopped. Now wait, didn't the Urim and Tumim just say that Shaul HaMelech was coming down? So Shaul HaMelech didn't come down at the end of the day. So why did the Urim and Tumim say that? So there's a very easy answer. The Urim and Tumim said he's going to come down if you stay in Kiila. Because he didn't answer that question of Kiila first. Once he said, leave Kiila, Then the first answer is null and void. This first answer is null and void, and Yireh doesn't apply anymore. That's the obvious thing over here. But second of all, and an important idea, free will can destroy the Urim V'Tumim. Meaning, the Urim V'Tumim can say something of what should happen or what could happen. Nonetheless, people can make other decisions, and if people decide to do something different from what the Urim V'Tumim says they're going to do, that could happen. People are still able to do that. The Urim V'Tumim is not fail-proof. It is telling you what possibly might happen, but not what absolutely will happen. David sat in the desert in different strongholds. Na'isha Bahori is sitting in a mountain of Midbar Zif in the desert of Zif. David Shaul Melo was looking and looking and looking for him, but he could not find him. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't put him into his hand. He sat in Zif in Horsha in the forest that was right around there. And Pasuk Test Zion. Yonatan ben Shaul got up and he went to David in Horsha and he strengthened his hand. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, don't worry. He said, you have to be strong about this. Don't be afraid. The hand of my father will not be able to be against you. You will be king over Bnei Yisrael. And I will be your second in command. And Shaul, my father, knows this. Chazal lists Yonasan as one of the three most humble individuals of all time. From this line that he said to David HaMelech, by saying that I know you're going to be king, I will be your second in command, and my father knows this. By saying that out loud, by saying, I know I'm supposed to be king, says Yonasan. And nonetheless, the kingdom will be handed into your hands. Given into your hands, that's there.
I didn't even know David was where he was.
Probably individuals could. I remember Ed Yasser found it as well. Individuals could find it. But the Rabin and Shaul HaMelech himself probably couldn't find it. And David HaMelech was running around. He spent enough time running around in the forest, and you're just one guy. David HaMelech's not looking out for you, then you can find him. So if there's one guy, I think that's the answer to that question. Remember this as well. Remember when Ish-bosheth was made king after Shaul HaMelech died, right? Because Avner made a deal. He said that it said that there are two kings that have to come from Binyamin. So the likelihood is that Yehonasan would be the second king. Nonetheless, Yehonasan was saying, I don't care about that prophecy. I am willing to be your second in command. That's what he was trying to say, and that shows his anivus. He knew he could be king, and he knew that there was a nevuah that he was supposed to be king. And nonetheless, he was saying, I'm not going
to
do it.
How did he know that David was supposed to be king? Did David already know about
it? He probably told Yehonasan that, you know, he was anointed and he had that.
Yeah, but that's like a difficult conversation to have. Like, right. By the way,
let's say he didn't tell him. Things were probably starting to come out now. Once David Melech started gathering people, people started to hear about it. People probably knew David Melech had been anointed as king. And they knew. Remember, everybody knew that there was a prophecy. Everybody knew that Shaul Melech. At this time, word had spread enough, they realized that David Melech is next.
I don't think Yonasan would have put himself on high if he didn't actually know for sure.
Yeah, and I agree with that. He must have known.
He must have told
maybe
him.
He went to Shmuel. That could be also. They made a bris in front of Hashem. He sat in Horsha. Yonasan went home. The Zifim came to Shaul in the Giva, and at Giva, isn't David with us? Not only did he give him, like, you know, a general idea, he told him direct, this is where he is. He's on 3127 West Jarvis. Go figure it out. Go find out what's that. He gave them exactly where it is. Zifim are called away because they are liars. They misrepresent their words. They're called Mizaitim. Mizaitim, yeah.
Before you say, when it says, Vehicle Shanim Bruce with Hashem, said, it's in front of Yasser and Urim V'Tumim.
That's what it did. Very, very good. Kalev. Kalev's children were the Zifim. We do mention them in Tehillim, by the way. We all know this, right? Yud Aleph and Maskil David by Yoso Bama Aras Tila. That's in Kuf Mem Beis. But Yud Aleph is when he was hiding from Shaul with the Zifim. When the Zifim came to Shaul and told him where David HaMelech was sitting. If any way the king wants to go down, go down. We are willing to give him over into the king's hands. The Zifim were willing to take him himself. Hashem, you are blessed to God because you had mercy on me. Go and continue to plan. Go find out exactly where his place is. Find out where his feet are. Who saw him there? Because I've been told that he is very cunning. I want you to go find all the caves that he could hide in there. Come back to me on the phone. Come back back to me quickly. That I'll go with you. If he's there in the land, then I'm going to search for him throughout all the thousands of Yehuda. If he's really there, get me a map. Tell me exactly where it is. Everybody look over here for right now. Giva is right around here. Giva of Shol, there's Nov, Irakwanim, Yavus, right? Yavus, remember, is Yerushalayim. That's the area of Yerushalayim, base Lechem. Adulam Ki'ila is right over there. That's where he was, right? Hebron, Zif is right over there. And the wilderness of Zif is right around there. Went right around there. I have no idea where this area is nowadays. No clue. I mean,
development.
Right down Hebron, there's a forest outside of Hebron. I mean,
probably not anymore.
I have no idea.
What's it called? When you drive on the road over there, there's like hills where they have like plant stuff and like levels.
I guess that's what it's got to be. It's very strange. Later on, we're going to see that they go to the wilderness of Ma'on that's down over here, and then eventually goes to Ein Gedi. That's where you're going to see, and that's where he cuts off the road.
It's very hilly. How did they try? Like, it seems like it wasn't like they just got out in their jeep and drove down.
No. But they probably took the valley paths.
Right, but it still took a while. Like, where's here? Ki'ila's over here. Hebron's like, it's not, you know.
Yeah,
even
they
the valley takes an hour. Like,
I would assume it took them a day or two. It wasn't that long, but I'm assuming it took a day or two to be able to get around from one place to the other. They came, they got up, they went to Zif ahead of Shol, with Neshol. They were in that desert of Ma'on and the wilderness right by the right of Yishimon. They told David, they went down to the cellar, right, and he sat by, he went down toward the cliff, he stayed in the wilderness of Ma'on. So Shol HaMelech heard about it and immediately went down to that area. Now this was big times. Right over here, this is right here, the hardest, this is the first and last time that David was actually in unbelievable amounts of trouble, where he literally could have died. And the Shaul HaMelech was right on him. Shaul HaMelech went on one side of the mountain. He's on one side of the mountain, on this side. David and Hashem Yitzhar Aharm, he's dead. They were on the other side of the mountain. Right there. But David Nechfaz Lelechaz Min Neshol. David HaMelech hurried to get away from Shaul. The Shaul HaMelech Otrim El David. David HaMelech and Shaul and his men surrounded David HaMelech and they were going to grab them. Right at that moment, David HaMelech slipped. He said, Shmuel and Avi said it was going to be king. All men are liars. That's the line that he said. Right at that moment. At that moment, all men are liars. Yeah, all men are liars. In a reference to Shmuel and Avi's Nebuah saying, we see that Shmuel and Avi's Nebuah is not true. Meaning he had no chance of getting out of it. No chance. There was nothing he was going to be able to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, David HaMelech, I am telling you that Shmuel's Nebuah was 100% true. U'malach ba el Shaul Lamor. Not just a messenger, because no messenger could get Shaul HaMelech to stop him from running after David when he had David in his clutches. It was a real Malach that got up there and said, Lamor, Mahara v'lecha ki pashtu plishim al arts. Get up quickly and get out of here, because the plishim are raiding the land. Immediately right there, an angel immediately got up and said it. This was a miracle beyond miracles. It made no sense that this happened.
Were the plishim doing this, or was it just...
No. By Yashav Shol Mirdof Achrei David, Shol HaMelech returned from chasing after David. By Yelech Likras Plishim, he went to go greet the Plishim. Al Kain Kar LaMakom Ustela Machlakos. They called it the rock of where the split happened. The Al Tov Misham Yishim and Tzadus Ein Gedi. He went instead from over there, and he went to Ein Gedi. But it never happened. Yeah, yeah.
They didn't say if there was a war, maybe there was something.
By Yi Kasher Shav Shol Me'Achrei Plishim. When Shol returned from following the Plishim, he never fought them. He never saw them. He had no idea. This was a distraction that he just followed them, but he did nothing. And then all of a sudden he realized there was no Plishti war. The Malach lied to him. He said, unbelievable. And yet he still wanted to chase after David HaMelech. It's unbelievable.
That he knew that it was an actual Malach, not just somebody.
I think Shaul HaMelech would be able to tell a Malach. He was a Navi. So Shaul HaMelech probably was able to tell a Malach what it was.
Remember we said it, when he was depressed, when he...
That's true. No, but you still noticed. Enough. You would notice enough. Even if it appeared in human form, it had to be someone that he trusted enough to stop doing what he was doing and go up against the patient.
Abram
what?
Didn't realize that he had
Malach
in
his. Come on, dude.
It says Anoshim.
Come on, dude.
No, and even Rashi on that part says it was Anoshim by Abram, because Abram was a high level. They were Anoshim to him, but to Lot they were Malach and knew they were special.
Come on.
Why? I think it's reasonable.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Then Shaul HaMelech also thought it was a human being.
No. I'll tell you what happened. This guy, he might have looked normal to Shaul, but because he was a Malach, he had that persuasive ability
to be able to just
talk him into it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Shaul wasn't on that level anymore, the Malach himself had the persuasive ability.
Maybe he was after something.
I mean, he was a king. He had a level of responsibility.
Angels can't eat. So when the angel picked up the food and it turned into fire or just disappeared in his mouth, Avram Avinu didn't know then? Did he figure it out then? When Avram Avinu opened up his eyes and they were all far away, and then all of a sudden they were in front of him, when they didn't have backs, because Malachim don't have backs, did he not notice that?
That's not from the
text. I said, but Malachim don't have backs.
Right, but they were in the form of the people, so they had backs.
Yeah. He didn't notice that? He didn't notice that they were just... Malachim don't have knees. Let's say they came in the guise of human beings. Are they allowed to eat them?
Why did he have to walk their feet?
No, it's by year.
Rashi says that
I'm telling you,
if he knew they were Malachim, he wouldn't have them wash their feet, because they don't need to wash their feet. They're not worshiping
him. He said that to him. Did he actually wash their feet?
So why did he say it to them?
He said it to them, because at that moment he might not have known. But did he actually do it? It's very hard for me to understand. Very, very hard for me to understand. He didn't know they were Malachim.
I don't understand either. Probably from a text it seems that he did it.
Fine. Let's say it was.
Fine.
Then Shaul HaMelech also saw them as a man. I find it very, very hard.
It's more plausible for Shaul to see this guy as a guy. He was very persuasive.
Avram Avinu, we don't have to go into this right now, but Avram Avinu thinking that they were men, really men, the whole time. I find that to be one of the hardest ideas in my life.
Maybe at the end when they give the rule about Sarah giving birth.
Even then, way before then. Come on. How long did they stay for also?
Seems like they stayed for dinner, huh?
7 months.
Oh, I remember you said that.
Tosfos.
It could be that Shaul was just, he did realize he was king, because somebody told him, listen, and he's frantic, and the priests team are destroying the cities, so he had to make a split decision. He's like, I gotta save the people if I'm gonna be king.
Fine, even so, that decision is also a Shkakal problem.
You're saying,
because that's crazy, isn't it? David is in his hands. He's right here. You have it. And the police team are coming up against us. Give me 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Shaul HaMelech would say, but no, somehow he made the decision to go against the police. It is an amazing decision. I'm sorry. I don't think they're tricked. Okay, here we go. Bayika Shaul, Bayikidu Lo Lamor, Hine David Bimibar En Gedi. They told him, saying, David's in En Gedi. Who wouldn't be? En Gedi's a beautiful place to hang out with the ibex and the high rats.
Shaul went to fight a war, so he went on vacation.
He went to En Gedi. He's hanging out by the pools. Him and his men are just floating in the pools, drinking En Gedi water. Bayika Shaul, Shaul's not loving Ish. Welcome, you call Yisrael. Shaul Mela took 3,000 men that were young men from Bnei Yisrael. Bayilavakish is Dovna Nashal, and they So they went to go find him by the rocks of the ibex. Let's go find him from the rocks of the ibex all around there, okay? That's there. What?
I won't saw
it. Yeah, they're all around there. But you have old Gidros Hatzon. He came to the areas of the Tzon, all the where the sheep were all at Derech. Mishamar, and there was a cave there. As they came to the cave, the Shaul HaMelech, on his way to En Gedi, Shaul went in there, in order to go to the bathroom, to urinate. He would not urinate in front of the other people. The David Van Ashim Yarkseyam Ara Yoshin. David and his men were sitting in the back side of the cave. Now, why did Shaul HaMelech not check this cave beforehand? How do you not have your men go in? David HaMelech is running around here and he has 400 men. You don't check out caves before you go in to go to the bathroom? But the reason why is because there was a massive spider web on the outside of the cave. They said there's no way somebody's been inside here because the spider web looks too big. It was made right at that moment. Shaul HaMelech broke through the spider web and the spider's like, oh gosh. And he walked inside and went to the bathroom right toward the front of the cave. Not toward the back. Had he gone into the back, he would have run into all these guys. But Yom Ranchi David Elov, the men of David said to him, now I cannot imagine that they said anything out loud.
Right.
You've all been in a cave before. If you go into a cave, you make one noise, everyone else is going to hear what's going on in the cave.
There can't be that much light.
What? I can't imagine. Because if there was even a light, Shaul HaMelech would have noticed it. I don't know how this happened. It could be there was another entrance to the cave. It could be. Either way, this is the day that Hashem has said to you, that I put your enemies in your hands. Do whatever you want. David got up. He cut off a bit of the cloak that Shaul had very, very quickly. So here we go. Now, he obviously could have killed him, but he didn't do that. Let's see. After that, David Melech's heart was pounding because he had just cut off the cloak of David Melech, of Shaul Melech. He was testing. He didn't want to kill Shaul Melech immediately. He tested it. Cut off a piece of the cloak. He wanted to see how he would feel. As soon as his heart started pounding and he was palpitating and he started sweating, he realized, I'm not supposed to kill Shaul Melech. And that's when he backed off. He thought, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting him in my hands. I mean, this is an unbelievable coincidence that Shaul Melech by himself came into the cave to relieve himself while I'm standing right here. So David HaMelech went up, cut off the corner. When he felt that, he said he realized that's that.
He still got punished.
He was punished.
Hold on.
He was punished because he cut the wrong side of the crown. He cut off a part of the tzitzis that rendered the tzitzis that Shaul HaMelech was wearing invalid. He should have cut off something else or make something else there. When he cut off that part of the tzitzis, he was punished. I don't know if he knew what he was cutting. He was cutting something, yeah, because it was so dark.
Did Devin actually have legitimate reason to kill him? Even though Shaul was chasing...
Somebody's coming up to kill you, you got to get up and kill him first. So yes. In that case, yes.
Yeah, but he was already promised he was going to be king. So, I mean, Shaul, I mean, maybe the free will thing, but...
But then he sees him come into the cave. And this seems to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending him to him. He didn't know. That's why he asked him. Two punishments happened to David Melech later on because of this. Number one, his kingdom was torn apart by Rechavam and Yerubim. It was torn apart from him. That also was included. That's why Shlomo was included in the punishment. Also, number two, he was cold later on, and no amount of clothing could keep him warm. But Yom HaLeinu Hashem, Chalilu Ni Hashem. I would assume if he was just urinating, it had to be very quick. He said to his men, Chalilu Ni Hashem, Chalilu, God forbid, and he asked us the Dabar Hazeh, that I would do this, L'Adoni L'Mashiach Hashem, to my master, the anointed one of God. L'Shloch Yadi Boki, Mashiach Hashem, he is the anointed one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He felt terrible after this. But Yishasad David is Anoshim Badvarim. David pacified his men with the words, or really split them in half. Half the people said, let's kill him ourselves. Half the people said, no, let's not do it. At this moment, Avishai ben Tsruya got up there. Avishai's nephew got up there and said, I'll do it. If no one else is going to do it, I'll do it. I'll go up and kill Shaul. And David Melech wouldn't let Lonis Sonam Lakum El Shaul. He would not allow them to get up and go into Shaul. Shaul coming to Ma'arav Ayel Badarach. Shaul got up from the cave and went on his road. Vayakum David Achaychein. David Melech got up after them. Vayitim in Ma'arav. He came out from the cave. Vayikrach where Shaul Lamor. Adoni Melech, my master, the king. Can you imagine saying that? Vayabit Shaul Akurav. Shaul turned around. Vayiko David Apayim Artav Yishaku. David Melech bowed down to the ground. Vayor David Lishaul Lamas. Why are you listening to the word of that evil man Doeg saying that David wants to kill you? Today, your eyes see it. God put you in my hands in the cave. I said I could kill you, but I pity on you. I will not put my hand against my master because he is the anointed one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the idea behind it. He said, my father, he said to Shaul Melech. Look again. As Knaf Me'il Kobiyadi, I have the corner of your cloak in my hand. Keep a course is Knaf Me'il Kobiyadi. And by cutting off the corner of your Me'il and not killing you, Dara Eik and Biyadi Raw. I do not mean anything bad for you. Vafesha or any sins. And I've never done anything bad to you. And you hunt my soul to destroy it. You know what we learn from this? He said, Avi over here. It's learned from the tour. The tour learns from over here that there's an obligation to honor one's father-in-law from this pasuk because he called him Avi to be able to do it. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. I, either way,
yeah, but
there's another one.
Like he's the king, so he's kind of like everybody.
Avi is weird, though. Yeah, Adoni would be the word. May God judge between me and you on Pasuk Yud Beis. May God avenge me of you. However, my hand will never be against you and I will not kill you. Like the way the Mashal ancient proverb goes, from evil people comes out evil deeds. And therefore my hand will not be against you. And he was trying to say to Shaul Melech, the one who does kill you will be evil. Because remember, Shaul Melech had a servant who ended up killing him in the middle of the war. That was an evil person. And that's what David Melech was trying to say. In the end, he kills that guy.
David says
David mentions Doeg, but he doesn't mention him by name.
No.
Because he didn't deserve
to. Shame or shame near Kav. You don't mention the names of Rishayim.
So why didn't Doeg's name get mentioned all over the place beforehand? He should have never been mentioned in the first place.
Doeg was still the out of base, and he just did
a terrible,
majorly wrong thing. Amazing, isn't it? Also, Doeg is the Gematria of David. I've never understood that. I know there's got to be a shot behind that. Something in Kabbalah, something that has to say. But now Doeg and David.
They can take him. They can maximize their potential for the good, or they can maximize their potential for the
bad. So it must be that he was doing it the exact opposite. Akrei miyat samelch Yisroel, akrei miyat orodev, akrei kelev meis, akrei parush. God, I love this line. Who are you chasing after, the king of Israel? Who do you chase? You're chasing after a dead dog, after a flea. You should know, by the way, a kelev meis is the line that's used by Shlomo to describe how even a dead dog is greater than a live lion. Oh no, it says a live lion. A dead lion is greater than a live dog. That's the line behind it. Yeah, and then the fact that how great David HaMelech was, even in his death. That was the line that he used. It's in Shabbos, Daf Lamed of the Beis. But that's that. He said, come on. So he said, Hashem will be the Dayan. He'll judge between me and you, but Yera, but Yorib is Rivi. He will see, he will judge my fight. He will save me from your hands. And this was directed directly at Avner. Avner, you think that you're able to paskin against me and you're the one who can advise and incite Shaul HaMelech against me? He said, when Avner saw that the corner was torn off, he said, it wasn't David HaMelech. It was a thorn. Oh, it looks like he came out of the cave. He came from around the cave. He saw you in there, but David HaMelech was never inside there. He turned to Avner and said, you're trying to incite Shaul HaMelech against me, saying that I didn't do this, that I didn't have a chance to do it? You're saying that about me, Avner? Avner, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu fight my fights, and he'll exact my justice from your hand. That's what he's saying to Avner. But when he finished saying these words, is that your voice, my son David? He lifted up his voice and he cried. He says in Pasuk Yud-Zayin, the Emerald David said, you're greater than I am. You have done good to me. I have done evil to you. Why did he cry? He felt bad for Novir HaKohanim. He now realized that Novir HaKohanim had not been up against, for they had not tried to make a kesher with David HaMelech. He realized it only now. That's why he got it to Ayom. Now you have told me the good. Hashem put me into your hands, but you didn't kill me. Does a man take his enemy and send him on a good path? Hashem should pay you back for the good that you have done to me on this day. Some say he meant this sarcastically. I also did this. I took my enemy and I didn't kill him when I had the chance. I didn't kill Agag, king of Amalek, and I was punished for it. May God do to you what you just did to me. Do you hear it? I didn't kill Agag and I was punished for it. Yeah. I didn't kill Agag, I was punished for it. That should happen to you because of what you didn't do to me. I know you're going to become king. That could have been sarcastic or it could have been real. That was me. That's a thing I made up. Yeah, Kim Elotim Lok. The Kama B'yad Kama Amlach is Yisrael. And in your hand will be the Malchus of Yisrael. This is a sign and I know it's going to be. He knew that he had two traits. He already knew that David Malchus was a warrior. Now he knew that he had compassion. I don't know why you didn't know that from the fact that he's a harp player. I don't know too many harp players in a warrior. Regardless. I know, but seriously, like how many harp players do you know that also are pure warriors? I mean, obviously, in compassion. That's why you shove it by Hashem, and now swear to me by Hashem, in Tachriz Zari Acharoi, you will not kill my children after me, being Tashmir Shemim Vesabi, that you will not destroy my name from my father's house. David HaMelech swore that he would not kill Shaul. He did not swear about his children. Remember, the children of Shaul eventually did die in the hands of the Givonim later on, and David HaMelech allowed it to happen. Shaul HaMelech went back to his house. David HaMelech and his men went up to the Metzudah. Chazal tell us, Shaul went back to his house. He came back as a commoner. He returned to his home, but he never came back to his kingdom. Did not ever become king ever again, not a full king again. We're going to stop with this pasuk over here. In pasuk Aleph, by Yomaz Shmuel Navi dies. By Yikavzu Kol Yisrael v'Yisperuo, the Yisrael gathered together and they eulogized him. By Yiferu Bebeso, and they buried him in his house Beramah. By Yakum David by Yerudal Midbar Paran. David Malach arose and he went to the Midbar Paran at that time. Shmuel Navi died on 28th of Iyar. On the 28th of Iyar, he was 52 years old, but he looked a lot older than he was. The people served him. Is that what it is?
Really?
The people in immediately gave him an absolute massive eulogy. They realized how great Shmuel Hanavi was, and they realized that he was a prophet on par with Moshe and Aaron, and they treated him that way. All the cities that they were in, no matter what, even if it wasn't Ramah or wherever Shmuel Hanavi was buried, nonetheless, they treated him in the exact same way. Now, right now, he is buried outside a city called Timnas. Originally, he was buried in Ramah. There is a tradition that Shmuel's parents, Elkanah and Hannah, are buried lower down. On the other hand, an ancient source bears witness that when the Christians captured Ramah from the Muslims, they found Shmuel's tomb. They brought it to Shiloh, 8 miles from Yerushalayim, and they built a mausoleum there named after him. Elsewhere, it is mentioned that he was buried in a place called Timnas.
Oh, the Christians want to build him.
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't have the source for that, but that's weird. There is a long time that people go there on the yortzeit of Shmuel Hanavi, and they read from the Zohar, and they have a song, and there's a song over here. Shmuel died, and all Israel, old and young, mourned him. My father, chariot of Israel, and its rider. The outcry and grieving was great, but there's a whole tefillah to be able to say. David HaMelech was there at Shmuel's funeral. He also went to Shmuel's funeral, and he said, even though obviously I could be killed for this, he was willing to go to Shmuel and Navi's funeral, and he was there. The only person who wasn't there was a guy by the name of Nabal did not go. Nabal was having a party at that time, and he refused to go. So we're going to see what's going to happen over here. Everybody see Ramah? He went up Ramah. That's where he went. David went to the wilderness of Paran, right down over there. Eventually goes all the way down, right down over there.
How probably all the Jews found out about it and were able to travel in the amount of time it took to bury it?
It could be they delayed in order to make, because remember, if you're going to make a eulogy for such a gubbel, for certain people, they allow time to be able to go through.
In Jerusalem, they don't allow it anymore.
Let's stop at this.